6 o'clock.
Okay. This is July the 23rd, 2019. It is 6 p.m. This is the time and place set for the Roy Planning Commission meeting of this date. Notice has been posted and published as required by law. We will start this meeting with a Pledge of Allegiance. It's not the first thing on the calendar.
Yeah, that's good. It's flag right there.
Yeah, I know. I see it. Lee, would you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number one on the agenda is a declaration of conflicts. Does anyone have a conflict to declare?
Not in a work session.
There being none, we will move on to item number two, which is to have the approval of the June 25, 2019 work session minutes. A copy has been provided to all. Do I have a motion?
I motion that we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, we will move on to item number three, discussion of screening requirements. I believe this is you, Mr.
I don't know. I'll let somebody else take it if they want.
I was asked to kind of discuss this, more of kind of get your your thoughts, your opinions, if we should look at amending the ordinance, but also kind of explain the different sections of the ordinance that is there. So some of the questions I want you to think of is height of fences, whether it be residential, residential, commercial. Okay, right now our ordinance says 6 feet, nothing can be taller. Okay, materials. Our ordinance allows for rock, cinder block, masonry, vinyl, chain link with slats, chain link, and there's even a section that says a hedge can be considered a fence. And then location, again, residential to commercial. Okay. So just kind of go through our ordinance. I went through it, and anything that said fence, wall, screening. Mm-hmm. If there's another word for it, I'm going to have to pull it out, but we'll kind of go through this right now. So right now, 10.10.31 talks about screen walls, and this is in between a transition between residential and non-residential districts. Number two there, this is where it talks about walls, fences, and screening. B, it talks about 6 feet in height. And then D is where the opaque wall shall be constructed of stone, brick, or colored block masonry. Now this is where the conflict comes into play, because the very next one, a few sections down, in 10.10.36, when it talks about requirements for fences and walls, gives you height for A. No fence or wall or similar structure shall be erected and required in the rear yard, side yards that exceed 6 feet. C is where solid site obstructing fences and walls separating commercial and residential districts. And as you go on, it talks of, just talks about opaqueness and stuff. And that's, again, it's just, this is just for everything, not necessarily specific towards residential versus commercial. In section 17, table uses, there is a table for loud screening. And here where it talks about the loud required screening, minimum 6 foot tall solid fence of either wood, vinyl, chain link with interlocking opaque vinyl, or a 6 foot masonry, decorative masonry wall, texture surfaces facing street. And it kind of goes on allowing for, a variety of materials to be used. Not to necessarily pick out a particular project, but we have had some issues with this, and this is where the ambiguity comes into play, is which section trumps which section. Everything is equal, But in this case, it was, we had two options to go for. So part of this discussion is what should be there, especially with regards to residential and commercial. Can it be vinyl? Can it be chain link with slats? Are there other options to this? That's why I like having a discussion. Mm-hmm. We can kind of talk about it, then go find other things and bring it back again. I know there's a project in Clinton where the Lowe's and Kohl's is, Ross and stuff. On the north side, they were required to put a fence. Well, if you look at it just from a distance, it looks like it's a rock wall. But it's really a vinyl fence. Just has the appearance of rock. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of options out there where it's not just vinyl that's plain white and you know all you get is that. So you know start thinking about things, you know, height of fences. The old ordinance before it was amended did allow for 8-foot fence. Current ordinance as amended only allows for 6-foot fence. Once we get through our section, I've kind of gone through again Clinton, Layton and Ogden, just kind of see what they they show and allow. Again, I just picked everything that said wall, fence, or screening. Maintenance, parking spaces, areas, purpose of conflicts, or purpose of, So what is a fence in our ordinance? Fence open, fence slightly obscured. So they kind of have some definitions of it. This is where the hedge comes into play on the definition of a fence. The last sentence, fence includes hedges and walls. So as we start looking at it and discussing it, these are kind of things we need to take into account to try to get the ordinance consistent no matter where we're at. That if it says it's a wall because it's residential to commercial, that it will also say it in every other section that we've got. And this is going to be hard to read, especially on your print. So I took their pages and just put it on there. So Clinton has especially their downtown, they have a really unique ordinance. It's called performance zoning. So the way they look at it is, depending on what you are and your neighbor depends on what you do. So this is what the chart is for. Number one is really, you know, vacant versus vacant or next to vacant. And some subdivisions, it all depends on the impervious surface. So obviously, if you have an acre subdivision, there's not going to be a lot of impervious, meaning concrete buildings and whatnot. Down to 10, which is, you know, it's pretty much all concrete. So the planner gets to look at what's around it, deem what number it is, look at the site plan, figure out what its percentage is impervious, and then you follow this table. So just say we go, next to us is a subdivision that's R1A, which would be a 3, and we're sitting at a 7, we'll look at option F. Okay? So, kind of goes through A, B, C, D, E, F. So F says you're going to have this many canopy trees, this many understory trees, this many shrubs, this many conifers per 100 feet. And then it kind of gives you options of 30 foot wide, 20 and 15. So you have an option for your setback, but that setback also requires a number of increased, smaller you get, the more trees you're going to have, kind of, so to speak. And then you get the options of what types of fences. So if we go back, previous, I want to do, I'm in buffer yard F, but I want a 15 foot, so all of a sudden there's a fence required. But if I say I want a 25 foot, there is no fence required. So again, they have those options. So if you look at Walmart, if you go to the north, the east and south side of it, they have a 50-foot setback, but it has almost no trees, no nothing. You go to Lowe's and Kohl's, and it's a lot smaller.
they have more trees on the east side of their property than, say, Walmart does. Clinton's a very unique scenario. The old, where Albertsons used to be, was the old code. Then Walmart came, they introduced this. Lowe's and Kohl's came, they kind of modified a few things again, increasing the numbers required as you went down. If you go across the street from Walmart, where the Panda Express and everything is, that's the latest and greatest ordinance of theirs. So if you look at Panda Express, when I was there, I think they have a 15-foot, but I mean, there's tons of trees. Again, they're looking at it, if we decrease the width, we're going to increase the vertical. If we have a large width, the vertical isn't needed. It is time-consuming on both parts of the developer, because you're not quite sure what you're going to be categorized as until you have a review. So in some cases, it's a really long process for the developer, because he'll submit it, then he's told, okay, you got to do G, when he was thinking he was F, and then all of a sudden things start changing. And then again, it gives you a variety of fence types and height requirements. They do allow for 7-foot vinyl and an 8-foot brick or concrete slide ends.
This is commercial only that you're showing us?
Between commercial and residential, yes.
So like the wall for Walmart, where the houses are on that side, and Walmart's, that's what this is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the south where those residentials are. So that's one option. It has niceties to it, but also has difficulties to it. It's not necessarily developer friendly, because again, you're going to submit a plans that cost you a couple $1,000s. They're going to be returned, and you may have been lucky to guess the right one or not, and you have to redo everything. Ogden, again, I did the same request on or searches. Ogden's a little more interesting when it comes down to it. Again, I didn't read the whole thing, so I'm just be patient with me. But they too have kind of a table when it goes to it. But when they, you know, you kind of figure it out, parking and whatnot, it kind of gives you scenarios of what you can do and what you can't do. So if you're screening and you happen to be in A, or H, or what have you, then you have these options of what you can do. So again, I couldn't find anything taller than 6 feet in Ogden. But they do have things they look at for waivers. Ogden has this, again, because they're more on a hill in cases where we're really not. It's more, we're really flat until you have to build, and then, you know, that 1 foot between here and there really becomes something different. So they have, again, options that you can do. This one is ineffective screening. Again, they don't allow anything taller than 6 feet. So in this scenario, they're almost saying, due to topography, 6-foot fence really doesn't do much. So you may or may not have to have a fence. Then they get in between commercial and residential. Existing vegetation along the zone boundary provides adequate visual screening. Then you may or may not have to have a fence. See, the next one is a little more out there. This one's saying if you have a commercial wall that's blank, you can use that as your wall, as long as the setback is all landscape.
So you're using the wall of the building as the fence?
Uh-huh. I mean, you still own the land that's landscaped, but they've given you the option that you don't have to have the fence.
Okay.
And of course, down here where it looks like they have a parking lot or something, then the fence would be required. So again, Ogden's a little different, but that's kind of why we go through other cities, just see what options they have. Does that inspire us to do something with ours? Do we like what somebody else did? Do we not? You know, those are kind of things. Planners don't create things, we plagiarize.
Because why reinvent the wheel?
Us too.
I picked Ogden Layton in particular because I know they have full-time attorneys. So they'll review things. Clinton does not. So it's a little more planner-friendly, so to speak.
You're welcome.
Well, it's one of those, if I'm going to call the attorney, it's going to cost me $200 an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not. Or here, I can go next door and it doesn't cost me anything.
I can't believe anybody can live off of $200 an hour, okay?
I know. Layton, again, I wasn't able to read through the whole thing. They've got aspects of it, but they do allow for options. You know, you have the ability to do, let's see, I'm one page ahead of you. They talk about transition landscaping and fencing, size of trees, what you need. They have options of 1, 2, and 3 and 4 on your, excuse me, your buffers. It requires so many things per, but when you get to fencing, it kind of goes to a matrix. I'm hoping it doesn't look like I grabbed the matrix. Or I didn't find it. They do allow for, let's see, for residential zone, no fence hedge may exceed 8 feet or 6 feet. Special permits by the zoning administrator, but there is an 8-foot set behind the front yard setback, the main structure fence. Okay, so they do allow for 6 or 8. I got another 8 foot here. So, again, I don't know if this kind of brings you to anything. I can send this out to everybody just so they can have it and read it. But initial thoughts, anybody like 6 feet? Think we should go to higher? Think we should?
I think in my mind, it would be in some cases 8 foot, but when you're between a commercial and real estate, but residential, but it would depend on the circumstance. So well, you have to be flexible, don't you?
You kind of like what Clinton has done.
Yeah.
That you have the ability to...
Because not every situation is going to work.
Because
I hate the 8-foot fence between residential, but between residential and commercial,
I would there's
okay. times that would be appropriate to go just a touch higher.
Yeah, taller buildings, yeah. You know, some of that effect, depending on the type
remember
of business.
With the place down in the center edge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people that lived back there were wondering about the wall and the sounds and everything, that would be something there that I could see a bigger fence be good for that.
And would it be possible, because of the height, you know, like the example in Ogden, I mean, I deal with code all day, every day, and I just look at that and I see the ability to have issues where, you know, maybe it's based off of the base of the foundation of the building or something like that. That way, if there is a berm or not a berm, or if it's sloped off, you know, you can't put a 6-foot fence that only basically comes up to a... And we don't have a lot of hills. There are a few places.
No, I mean, in this, the Sunridge is probably the unique scenario where it was sunk down, so when they built it, got built up. But if that was first, the neighborhood next to it had probably been built up a little bit more as well. So
yes.
It's kind of hard to say. But
I hate to be reactionary on one example, right. But if that was based off of the base level of the foundation, you'd go up 6 feet, then it probably avoids an issue altogether.
Okay.
You're just establishing a baseline there. Go ahead.
You mentioned that Roy used to have 8 feet as the standard. Were you here when it got changed?
Uh-huh.
What was the rationale to change it?
I'm looking at other cities and what they allowed and what they didn't. So.
And the whole purpose of the opaqueness is visual.
Right.
Pretty much. Just to separate.
To help do some screening.
Help the residents not to be looking into a commercial area.
Right.
More or less.
Preferably not looking at your dumpster.
You didn't have to bring that.
But then again, people's concern is always they lose their view. Yeah. Like when you talk about 4,000, same thing's going to be over there because it's so sloped. If you make it all be 8 feet from above, people are going to complain because they're going to feel boxed in because they lose their view.
Yep.
So
now, I don't want the next comment to hinder your thoughts.
Okay.
Building code, anything 6 feet and less does not require a building permit. Anything 6 feet or higher does. And generally you have to be engineered. So some of that discussion we had before was
again, developer friendly.
Yeah, well, that's building code. I have no...
No, I know.
But if that's an option to go 6 or 8 feet, that's something the developer could make that decision, whether they were going 6 or 8.
No, we could kind of do what Clinton does, say, if you're going to do 6 foot, here's your buffering requirements. If you're going to do 8 foot, here's your buffering requirements.
Yeah.
And I like those things we can easily, you know, put a table to. And then they have options. You know, we can say, again, vinyl fence equals this, rock wall equals this, chain link sets equals this. Well, if that's what you're wanting to do.
Well, and I mean, is there also, I mean, when you say a vinyl fence, I would hate to be somebody next to a commercial if they put up an 8 foot white vinyl fence behind my house.
You can always just say color.
Yeah, I would say we need to do something as far as...
Now, granted, if I have a blue building, I don't know if I can find a blue vinyl fence.
Well, I'm not sure I'd want a blue vinyl fence.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, you can look at color as well. I know, like, with chain link, you know, it comes in standard metal, but you can also have it powder-coated, so black or whatnot, if you want to kind of get rid of the ugliness of it.
Vinyl slats in there as well.
Yeah,
privacy slats. The only problem I have with the chain link with the slats is it looks really good new, but it doesn't take long before it starts.
But vinyl's really the same
bad.
Way.
I was going to say vinyl.
I mean, vinyl's worse. I think there's holes all over the city of vinyl fences from kids' soccer balls.
If you take care of them, mine's old and it's not been beat up, but you can fix a vinyl.
Yeah, soccer balls go through vinyl.
No wonder mine didn't get bent.
Well, again. You know, we're not going to resolve anything here today. I want just kind of give you your mouth moist and start looking at it. As you drive around the Roy or any other city and you see something you like, take a picture of it, let me know what city. I can pull up their ordinance, see what they allow, don't allow, and we can definitely come back and talk about it. You know, I don't want to say this, or this tonight, but if you guys are in a particular direction, stay Monday. If you're leaning towards a particular direction, then we can always look at other what we can do there.
I mean, personally, I'd like to incentivize as many trees as we can, and whatever we do in this, I think the more green you can have with a fence or without a fence.
And that's one thing our ordinance does lack is landscaping requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something I'm doing with cleanse is how.
On one sense, I like it because we're in a desert.
Right.
And not requiring all these things to have to be there to water is good. But when you get in scenarios like this where if I have a 15-foot setback and I'm picking, you know, the cheapest option as a developer, we need to have trees. And you can do, there are drought-tolerant trees that are out there. And so I like the idea of having it, but I also like the idea of not. But again,
I take the slightly contrary view. I go to that Clinton Lowe's and Lowe's in particular, and often the stop sign is covered by a tree, okay? Or they're so high, when you get to the stop sign, you can't see the area. So if we do something like that, I would suggest we make sure that where there are intersections...
The intersection you're talking about isn't part of this buffer. It's go to the east side of Lowe's and Kohl's.
Okay.
Go behind the buildings and kind of see what they have, and go to the south side of Walmart and see what they have.
Okay. Before they try to make it pretty when they were putting the Clinton offices in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey. But you can't see.
Do you want the stop sign in larger print?
Good idea.
He wants it to flash.
On a side note, that particular development, when the city sold it to Wright Development Group to develop, the only caveat they had is that they needed to make it look, what was the word? Basically have trees, more trees. Well, the park at the time had maybe 70 trees. When they developed it, they planted almost 220 trees. And council still came back and says, it's not enough.
Oh.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going back to the developer and telling him to plant more trees. Give it some time. These trees will be so dense, they'll be... Mm-hmm. So, again, go out and look. As you travel, as you're driving around, you see something you like, just take note.
Okay.
You know, I was in Ogden. I like this. Take a picture of it if you can. Then we can come back and start kind of looking at really digesting our ordinance and how we can amend it to what you guys are liking.
Okay. So do you want to have like a minimum and then a maximum? Minimum?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to...
And 8 for commercial, not for residential.
Yeah.
So then that way, if the developer wants that higher fence, they can do it, but they have to pay for it.
If that's the options we want to go. If we want to give options that if you're 6 feet, then you're, you know, say the minimum is 15-foot setback, and you want to pick that, it's an 8-foot fence, and then you have this landscaping. But if you want to go to a 20-foot setback and a 6-foot fence, if those are the options, you know, you kind of like how Clinton has done it, that's fine. We can always do it that way. Or if you want to, like Ogden, it's dead set, it's 6 feet, don't care who you are, what you are, or where you are.
Is the house is going to play in with that form-based code?
Well, it'll play into it. Luckily, the code, I have a copy here. When we started looking at it, we divided, like the front runner station has different zones. Mm-hmm. So anything that was next to residential, we made it a lower zone. So you couldn't have as much density, you couldn't have. So we try to make it so it went from single family home to maybe duplexes to, so the higher density was
closer to tracks,
was farther away. Mm-hmm. Same with downtown. So it will come into play a bit, but it may not. But this would still come into play for community commercial, the business park. So
I would say if that's the case, and we want, the whole purpose of the form-based code is to create uniformity and have everything kind of look similar and have the same type of setbacks and walls, then we shouldn't be more specific in what it is we want. If we want, like, what do we want a downtown to look like? Do we want brick? Do we want blood?
Yeah, this goes through that.
Yeah.
It provides a couple of materials, metal, glass, and then masonry.
So the form-based code would just be in those two areas, yep, then, right?
Yep.
Okay. And I think in those ones, I think everyone, we want everything to look nice and neat, mm-hmm, and uniform. That's fine. And then maybe if you're outside of that, then you could say you have a 6 foot or 8 foot.
Yeah. And we can.
And give them, a couple options.
I'd have to go back and I can't remember fencing, but we can look at that. I mean, I'm going to sit down with the guys that wrote this and say, okay, our current ordinance says this, you wanted to say this, how do we get them to match?
Do you get any input from the developers about whether they like 6 feet or 8 feet or any of that kind of stuff, Steve?
I can, but I'm kind of on the side that, we're here to protect the residents from the developers.
No,
I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of what we're...
But my question was, have you got that?
No.
Not go out and seek it. I'm not suggesting that.
Okay. No, a developer wants to do...
Get through the process. Okay.
With little expenses, the less expenses possible. But again, in Clinton, they're building, but the developer, right, development group seems to be doing all the development, understands what's there. So they understand their market, they understand the city, so they develop, not quickly, but they are developing.
So that's when you decide what type of fence also?
Yeah, we can put those options that you have. If you say we do Clinton's and it, maybe.
Well, I just think in Clinton, it seems like those big developers are there, but Roy seems to get more family type people here that want to, and if you require one to have like a cement wall, those are so expensive, it could make people not be able to have their business here because we get more mom and pop type people. Well, I think than Clinton does.
And I think that's where if you give options.
Okay. So you're not saying it's going to be down to like just these two or three, it'll be
a wide
range.
Depending on what you guys want,
if you choose a 15-foot setback, here's one set of
choices. If you want a 30-foot setback, those are examples of what we can do, but again, we can discuss it.
And we're not talking about a large quantity of
places
that are affected. I mean, there's only a few places that could even be developed that are abutting to residential.
So like that new strip mall that we talked about going over by what is that, 3,500? That would be like a residential to commercial because those people are behind it. That little three-building thing that came and the people were mad.
The dental office?
Yeah, the little three strip mall, the little three.
Why am I not remember that one?
Because remember the ladies came and they lived behind it, so everybody could have homes?
It's the dental office.
So that would be one that would be like residential to commercial.
Right.
Okay. But the little lady that came with the automotive thing, she wouldn't be that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have, 48 and 35. That little 9 acres, mm-hmm, would come into play. Some down 3500 West, some along
56. I'm trying to think of vacant land, which we don't have a lot of. And then west side of downtown, you know, someone comes and demolishes what's there and rebuilds, and they would have to conform to today.
Steve, is that 9 acres large enough to do farm-based?
If we wanted to encompass a community commercial within this, but right now it's not.
No, I know right now it's not, but I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the largest tract of developable land that I know about around here, and we kind of like the idea of farm-based.
Right. What 9 acres were you talking about?
Corner of 48 and 35. Across from the car wash and 50 stop or whatever it is.
50 stop. Triple stop?
Triple
stop.
Triple 50. Close enough.
It's all this gas station annoying.
Everybody take it down.
And the busiest car wash.
Triple stop.
Okay. You know, we could amend this to include that as part of the, you know, the one of the zones. Right now it just hasn't been included.
It hasn't been, but it seems to me that we're kind of headed toward, and form-based gives us the most flexibility and still setting standards that we're not going to get sued about. I mean, the only thing that bothers me about, you can do this or you can do that, you can do this or do that. If there's not a standard of how we apply that, then it comes back on us as being capricious and arbitrary.
Well, the good thing is like Clinton has been doing it for a while, so we have some precedence there.
I don't live in Clinton.
Well, nor do I.
Okay.
Thank heaven. Armina.
Yes.
So any other thoughts? So I'll give you some homework to just kind of...
I think I like this, giving us some flexibility to do things rather than saying everything's a white 6-foot vinyl fence.
Right. Or is 6 foot only? And
or even six, yeah. But I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, take some time. We'll have another work session next month and kind of come together and get ideas and kind of start looking at how we want to amend it and where we want to go. Okay?
Works for me.
Whoops, going the wrong way. Powers and duties. You're probably wondering why I put that one up. No? As our ordinance and the state statutes talk about, there's more than four and they're on the next slides, but these particular four are mandated by the state statute. There's no way around it. We can't get rid of this even if we tried, unless the state decided to just abolish it. So the Planning Commission was put together to do these four things in particular. The adoption or amendments of a general plan. You guys are the body that recommends. You do all the work, you go through all the processes to get comments, and then you make a recommendation. You prepare zoning ordinances, subdivision ordinances, and then you hear and recommend approvals for amendments to the zoning ordinance, zoning maps and stuff. Can't give that one up even if you wanted to. Okay? It's the other ones that we can look at. Some of you weren't here when Dave Church came and talked to us with Irma, where they started talking about how things have kind of been going. Some cities still do this, where you guys are in charge and with the duties of site plans to approve, subdivision plats, conditional uses. There are other cities that have taken that away from the Planning Commission, where staff does it. Pros and cons. Pros of having staff does it, streamlines the process. Developer comes in, it gets staff's comments, they're gone. Pros to it, there's only one set of eyes looking at it, and if they miss something, it's gone. Having Planning Commission do it, again, there's a second set of eyes, maybe even a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. But it makes the process a little bit longer because you got to go through the Planning Commission to get approval. So these ones, again, are just kind of those options.
As the this code has been written, it takes that right away from you. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
If the new code?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily saying that's the route I want to go. It's just how they presented it to me. So I wanted to get ahead of them and say, no, our planning commission doesn't want to do that.
Okay.
Therefore, we're going to take it out of this form-based code. We're going to stay the way that we are. But again, look at it. Kind of sit down with yourself and say, okay, give yourself some pros and cons of what you like.
Again, it's a balancing thing. If we're a public body, we can have the public here. They can come and they can actually see what's going on. If it's all on you, it's between you and the developer.
No, because this does, I'd have a DRC meeting that's open to public.
What is a DRC meeting?
Development Review Committee. That's where I have the engineer, the public works director, the police department, fire department, building, and planning.
Okay.
So when you get a staff report that has DRC comments,
yes. Okay.
That's who...
That's okay. Yeah. Instead of it being presented to us, you would have an open public meeting
them.
And the public would have some opportunity. Yeah.
They'll talk to the DRC instead of the planning commission.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, is that on the developer side, it's sure a lot easier to deal with just the DRC. Ogden, it's DRT, but
there's different names for it.
Wherever you go, but I can also understand
pros and cons on both sides.
Being on the commission's side,
I personally like how it is. I like him saying, "I'm sorry, you got to go to the planning commission." They can complain all they want. I'm just like, it's a public. You're developing in this particular city. I want the public to be able to have. Come to the meeting and have at least citizens look at it.
And can't they also do that at the city council? Let's say they take that away from us, then when they're proposed up there, the city council meetings, who actually makes the decisions on whether public comment?
Right? On these aspects, yes. The city council is the final decision. On these aspects, they are not.
When you have a DRC, is it open to the public or just the people
currently,
that are presenting?
Currently, no.
So you'd have
currently it's just us and a developer will come in and present it and we'll give them our feedback and
so the citizens don't have a chance to come in and say
no right but not right now right now it's this body.
Would that require statutory change or an ordinance change?
It would would be in our ordinance, we would change it. That's why again I'm discussing it because I saw it in here.
We don't have to deal with the state if we choose to do that. That was my point.
Right, because the planning commission's only responsibilities are those.
Okay.
Those are the only things that are defined under statute.
And here again, going back, I'm just back and forth because I'm on both sides of this. That on the development side, you know, going into this form-based areas, the less restrictions you have on the developer, the quicker it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, could you do something in the fact that these areas, the form-based code areas, just need the
could we split it
staff?
Out? That's
what he's
asking.
Whereas the residentials and whatnot.
I could see. I don't think it's done that way anywhere else.
No.
I mean, I know South Ogden just adopted form-based code, and it's not everywhere. I could talk to them and just see what they've experienced, what they haven't.
I haven't found any of our planning commission meetings to be onerous on any developer. Okay? I mean, we pass recommendations when they don't even show up.
Yeah, it's the time is really what it comes down to.
Dealing with you. But they have to do that anyhow.
The DRC meets every week. Planning Commission meets once a month.
Oh, I'm just horrible. I know. And that's why we have these meetings to discuss this kind of stuff.
Okay. So think about it. Pros and cons.
Okay.
We'll come back next month and you guys can look at it. Again, if you know people in other cities, talk with them, see how they do it, what they like, what they don't like. If you have developers, okay. Again, we're not going to make decisions tonight.
Okay.
I'm just trying to whet your appetite on these topics to get some discussion going. Again, these are ones that you can relinquish, and this is just under our own ordinance, or keep. I have them in red because I'd like you to keep them. H being more, you are an appeal authority to a decision I make.
Okay.
So if I make an interpretation of code and someone says I don't agree with you, they come here. I you can't take that away anyway. You got to make your own bylaws and rules and regulations anyway. So, and then Jay is more of the council. If they want you to advise them on something else other than, then they can. So to me, these ones, yes, you can give them up, but I don't see the point. H could just go to the hearing officer. And I don't see why we wouldn't want to do that, allow you to amend your own. But I guess you could give it to the council to do for you.
Then why have us other than the law?
Yeah, well, you have to. So to me, having the Planning Commission be able to determine their own rules and regulations is where it needs to be. So, but didn't want to say this is what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
Right.
Staff reports.
I want to ask a question of Don before we go on. So you're on both sides of what do you find onerous about going before a Planning Commission versus just going to the DRC, other than it just streamlines it, makes it easier? What is it about going to the Planning Commission that you find?
Sometimes it's 2-3 months before you can get on a commission, whereas a DRT.
We'll just say I went to a Planning Commission in a city that's not too far south of us, and I thought it was a joke. They were making up things right there on the diocese as the developers, like, down. It's like, oh, I think it should be this, and I think it should be that, and I'm thinking in my head, shouldn't your code already say what it should and shouldn't be? But they weren't what I feel, what I think. So in some cases, it helps developers get through cities. But then again, state statutes are getting really tight on those type of planning commissions that aren't looking at their ordinance and just becoming willy-nilly. A few years ago when we went through the conditional uses, that was the biggest one that people thought, oh, because it's conditional use, I can put any condition I ever think of on that. Well, the state came out and says, no, it's got to be written in your ordinance, and if it's not, you can't apply it. Clearfield City, and I can't remember the project, required a 12-foot wall on a particular developer. The developer appealed it, of course, and it came back and says, no, you can't. Your ordinance only allows for 6 feet. You cannot require a 12-foot wall. A 6-foot wall mitigates the issues you were thinking about.
And I think when you go into the DRC meeting, say, when you have the police chief and the fire chief, and they know their own, their little section of what they do really well. Whereas, can you tell me what the turn radius we need for a fire truck is?
Well, the great thing is our DRC makes those comments anyway.
We already do that, right? Yeah, we go through that. Okay.
The only difference is they would just have the public meeting at the DRC rather than
that would be done there.
Mm-hmm. Would that be at a time that's convenient for the public?
Probably not.
Okay.
Right now it's 9:00 on Thursday.
That would make it tough for people to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The basic premise to change a law is you should have a compelling reason to do so. And so my first take on it, unless you give me some really good reasons that we should change the procedure, then I think what we're currently doing is probably what
That's
we should
why
be doing.
Well, and ask the question to
yeah, and I'm not saying that I support necessarily the change. I'm just as being on both sides.
You understand both sides, and so I didn't mean to put you in an awkward
position.
Well,
take this.
And that's fine. I feel like we're citizens from the community that have the final say.
And that's what's great about this body is you're not elected, so you don't have political.
No political issues.
You're citizens of the city, so you kind of have that both sides. You're appointed as this body to do these things.
And we don't have a dog in the hunt. The police chief does, the sewer guy does, whoever does, all those people do. Okay.
I'm kind of getting the idea of not, but we'll talk about it in a month and just see if you guys thought of anything else or has spoken to somebody and kind of intrigued your interest.
What about increasing our power? Nobody's talked about that.
I want to bang that gavel every minute.
Well, when it comes time to vote for new chair, we think of the chairman.
No. Did I hear voluntarily?
Open my mouth, insert foot.
When it comes around in January, we remember, send it to Bill.
No. There you go.
Increasing powers, I really don't know what we could have increased them to. You know, again, your sole responsibility for creation was these four.
Okay.
So, councils can decrease them, of course, but
that's up to
we can't eliminate those. Staff reports. Again, it's I went to a what they call brown bag luncheon, and this lady was talking about staff reports and how mundane they are, and you know, you have to kind of think outside the box with them. She called them, what's the French word for avant-garde reports. Are there ways of taking this report and making it look, feel, provide different stuff? So that's why I asked the questions, you know, are there things that you want me to provide more of, less of? You know, what are those things? The staff report that we have now is just something that was passed on and I've just kind of continued it. I don't know if it makes sense. I don't know if it gives you the picture that you need to have or if I need to do something different. So that's kind of why I'm asking the question is if there are things that you know, you like more pictures, I can put in more pictures. If you like more explanation of what the project is, yada, 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 I can start doing those type of things. Hate to say keep giving you homework, but...
Oh, it's okay.
Maybe, you know, just Google other cities and see if you can find a staff report and see what you like and don't like. Some cities, it's all technical jargon. There's no pretty pictures. There's no nothing. Some are, there's a lot of pictures in it that kind of give you an idea. I want to make sure that the staff report I'm writing fits what you guys want, not just what I want. It's simple and stuff.
You're talking about like for the agenda for the meetings and stuff?
Well, not just, yeah, my staff reports. This is, okay, here's the item. Here's who's doing it. Here's the zoning around it. And, you know, what information...
Well, I think it's efficient. I like the way it is. Yeah. It's simple, but yet it's...
I can, you know...
It gives enough information there that we...
Just getting the right addresses on there.
That's the good and the bad about cut and paste. I can take one, save it something else, and then go through it, and you forget some lines sometimes.
Yeah, just improve the editing. That's yeah.
Who's editing this? Come on.
Nobody. If my professors would have told me how much writing there was in planning,
you would
not be here. Yes. I hate writing. But again, I want these reports to be what you need them to be.
Now, I like that you show the aerial photograph as well as the zoning map. The only thing that I wish we could do a little bit more in our meetings that's kind of related to this is to actually get the applicant to explain their own project.
I'm trying.
Because you do such a great job, they just defer to you, which is good because we need to know,
what
matches in the order, what doesn't. But I would love to get them to talk a little bit more. And I take the example of the portico. You know, when I asked about the materials used in the portico, all of a sudden it came out. So if you could get people to explain their projects, I think that would help us understand the scope, and then we can ask some of those questions, and then you find out what the real... Because I wonder on some of these, is there more to the project than what we're saying? Because their whole thing, if I was a developer and I came in, I wouldn't even say a word.
The sad part about that project is every question I asked, something else came out. And it's like, oh my gosh, dude, stop, you know? And then you ask that question, I'm like, oh, you didn't tell me that.
You know, but...
And I specifically, are you making any exterior changes? No! That's also, I'm peeling this off of it, it's like... Dude.
I thought there was nothing. But that's why people explain their project. I think we could...
Yeah.
I don't think that's a massive problem, but it would just be nice, I think, to hear the applicant explain what their project is. I mean, I don't want to take 25 minutes, but even if they took 30 seconds on some of these, it would be nice to know a little bit more depth as to what it is.
Before we adopted our rules and regulations as they are now, it was me first.
Yeah. I was going to say, we've improved it. Steve's improved it with the changes.
It was me first, and then the developer got like, just what he said.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said.
So now, you know, okay. We've flopped it. So
I certainly don't want to change that.
Yeah. And you really see a developer who's played the game a long
time.
We've
had two in my time.
And the ones that haven't.
Lucky Duck.
Yeah.
And that was an attorney, by the way, just in case anybody wanted to
know. That was an oddity in itself.
Yes. They made a presentation, and the Wendy's guys that came in when they were changing, and both of them were prepared. They did everything. I think that's the standard. I'm not real big about letting people do more, you know, have an easier way.
Yeah.
I mean, minimum quality.
I tell them they have to present their project. They ask me what they should say. I said, present your project. Tell them what it is you want to do. Bring pictures.
But if they had some guided questions, would that help them?
Yeah, because I don't think they should present.
I could look at stuff.
I just wonder if they had, like, that little lady that came with the auto place. Like, you know, she didn't have a clue what to say. I wouldn't know what to say. I wonder if they just had some guided questions, like state your name, what your business is, what your purpose is.
Why are you doing
that? Four or five questions that they could have in advance to write down, and maybe they could submit their answers or something.
That's
I don't know.
What,
yeah, and if they could write it down and submit it, they're more prepared because then they will have thought out. And then we also have read that, so then we, I don't know.
I like that.
I just think they come up and they just don't know. Like that poor guy that wants to put that housing in on 2700, he bumbles around every time because he just doesn't know what to say. He just looks at you.
Okay. That's why you should hire an
attorney. Oh my gosh, how come I can remember all this?
I'm trying, because there's so many projects.
That guy that wants to build houses on 2700, his wife works at Ray High. I don't know his name, but I have a kid.
Oh, Doug Terry?
Yeah. Okay. He just bumbles around because he doesn't know what to say.
Keeps going back. Yeah, but I don't want to make it harder, but I just want to say that if I help him, the process, and that benefits the public, it helps us.
I know if I had this stand up, I would want some pre-questions.
Well, I like the idea, and I don't know if they're out there, but I can definitely call a few planning departments and say, hey, you guys have
anything,
kind of a list of things?
Checklist to when you present.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
So again, if a developer's been around for a long time, they know what they're doing. They will come in and, well, Quick Quack is one of those projects. It was submit, application,
do it.
Build. And I sat in the meeting with him and said, we were going over the DRC comments after you guys, you know, approved it with conditions. Right. And I said, okay, well, the wall that's longer than 30 feet has to have this. This is okay, hold on. Do it. And he just put his phone. I mean, he would call the developer or the architect and just tell them what they had to do.
Which is why.
I want it tomorrow.
Okay.
It was incredible to watch.
I had a few presentations before Planning Commission in Las Vegas and the Gaming Control Board and whatnot. And it was a lot of work, okay? But you go in and you don't want any questions from anybody here.
Answer them.
And you want to make sure Steve's your friend,
okay?
Mm-hmm. Basically, if I was practicing, I'd walk in and I'd say, Steve, what do you need? You give me the list, do it.
Do you want to, what I tell developers, I'm your friend up until the Planning Commission meeting, then I'm against you because I'm applying the standards of the law, and then afterwards I'm your friend again.
Okay.
So don't be offended when I say the project is missing this, is missing this, and is missing this.
Well, maybe you could reference the people too to watch the YouTube videos of those two presentations, like the Wendy's and the Quickie Quack, so that people could kind of see.
If we have them.
If we have them.
Oh, they're not saved?
Maybe not.
Well, Glenda kind of knows, we ran into some issues where if I'm up there and I push Planning Commission for YouTube, it would start and then stop, and then it wouldn't do anything, or wouldn't even do anything. So right now, I just put City Council, and the next day come in, change the name to Planning Commission, and then upload it.
But I mean later, if they knew, like you could say to someone if they didn't know what to do for a presentation, watch the Planning Commission meeting on this date, this one was a good one, and this was a good one, so they could, some people are visual learners. Well, there's the teacher in me.
There you go.
Well, maybe then they could
I'll see if there's some guided list or anything of what to look for developers to be able to make presentations. I'll keep telling them they got to present their project.
Yes, because you really present for them, and you do a great job, but I would love just to hear that.
Well, I would love to just stick down and say, okay, it meets the ordinance and we're done. And you already have a painted picture, so.
That would be the ideal goal.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Unrealistic. Again, the attorney done it a lot of times, and the development people for Wendy's had done it a lot of times.
Yeah.
That's why they were good at it.
Yeah.
First time person up there.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of changes when you present the stuff. It seems like people are pretty, you get them pretty prepared, except for the speaking part, because I don't think when they come in there's a lot of changes.
No, but we don't.
But not everybody can get up before a mic.
No, that's totally agree.
Yeah,
all I do is
I have had probably 90% of the time I'm explaining the project more than they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just because I don't think they gave you a good enough picture to understand it. Now, granted, the staff report kind of helps fill in some blanks, but they should really, you know, still have all the same pictures I've got and poster boards. It's
oh, yes.
Again, Wright Development Group that's building most of Clinton.
If you've done it multiple times, you know how to do it. Yeah. If it's the first occurrence.
They come in and they've got this big presentation. I've even seen them do it in PowerPoint. And
yeah.
They give it to you. So, but for staff reports, I look for some examples of other cities.
Okay.
And kind of send them out to you just so you can kind of have an idea of good, bad, the ugly. I like this section. I don't like that. That way, again, I can kind of look, get these staff reports to be what you need them to be, not just what I've done in the past or Jared did or Tony did, or I don't know how far back I need to go. You're probably the one that's been on the longest.
Probably.
Was Tony here or was it just Jared?
Jared.
Okay. Hey, I have to go back one person.
Yeah.
So, and that is all I've got.
Okay.
Well, I think
so. We got some observing to do.
Yeah, especially the in between the transitions from commercial to residential. Then when you're out shopping, just go on the back side of the building. Just kind of see what they've done, especially if you know it's up against a residential. Some cities do it really well. Some cities don't. You know, the good and the bad about Roy is we're mostly built out. So this will be for all redevelopment type projects, but never hurts to keep looking
and be prepared,
you know, because a lot of people thought, you know, hey, Ogden's built out, nothing's going to happen. The next thing you know, the mall's destroyed.
Totally and different.
Now they're building up again. So
it's totally different.
Downtown is not what it used to be.
What's going to happen with that building they just took down that's on the it's on 1900 near Harmon's?
Right now, it's just going to sit like it is.
Who owns that land?
Woodbury.
Okay.
The go-getters.
I haven't been here long enough to know, but I've seen they've got lots of signs up. Does that mean they hang on to their property for a long time before they sell it?
Yeah.
The phrase "thorn the other side" comes to mind.
Okay.
The Albertson scenario, okay, if you're a landowner and your ex-tenant is still paying you rent, what do you do?
Yeah, why not collect their money?
Yeah.
I would.
It's kind of one of those, do I aggressively seek someone to fill it, or do I just let that rent keep coming in?
Yeah.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah. So it's one of it's the good and the bad of those type of things. You know, if I've got a contract and you leave, your contract's still there, and as a landowner, I'm just going to keep making my money and not have to do anything to the building. It's the sad part. So, but I don't know if the if it was Albertson's actually making it. I've heard rumors that was Smith's was making it, just to guarantee that nobody else came in.
Okay.
It was probably cheaper to go that route than allow someone come in and suck people away from them. So.
We'll never know for sure.
Nope. They're all rumors, so I don't know. Don't care. But I would assume if you had that big of a building and you weren't getting any rent, you'd be more aggressive in finding somebody or selling it.
Well, they finally did.
Yes. And I don't know about you guys, but I think Asian Mart.
Oh, I love Ocean Mart.
Yeah. Ocean Mart.
Yeah. Ocean Mart's fun. Yeah,
have you guys gone in there? There's little cafes on next to it. And
it's an interesting place.
Bought some flooring.
Yeah.
Well, buying some sand.
And they hire all the high school kids to gather carts and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. When the developer came, he said he was pulling people from Pocatello.
Yeah.
To the Sandy store.
Well, because Oriental Market was pretty busy before they burned down, and then they had to go all the way to Salt Lake to get stuff. People did.
Yeah. So, I think it's a good. I wish the building could have been changed and modified and updated, but.
That's not our job.
At least someone's in there.
At least it's occupied and doing good.
And the Rite Aid building has been purchased.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
So okay. Can't tell you by who, because, again, it hasn't been.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, I mean, I guess you could go to Weber County Recorders and find out who's.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
Yeah. But I do know what's coming in. I think the
Maybe the council's already divulged that.
The buffet.
Yeah, they have.
Okay, China buffet.
Yeah, it's a big sign.
I thought it was King Buffet.
King buffet.
Oh, yeah, someone's posted pictures and everything.
Yeah, it was on the website. Cats out of the bag.
Well, I think Brian Saxton had mentioned it, that there were signs out. I don't pay attention, so.
I think they do have a sign up saying that it's coming.
And the sign's backwards from what it really is. It says Buffet King, and it's really King Buffet.
To confuse
Sorry,
us.
Audience is not supposed to.
No, you're good.
You just couldn't have stuff on.
That's that commentary we like. So, any other? I guess we're on councilor or commissioner's minute.
We're on commissioner's minute.
Okay. That was our minute.
Anybody have anything that they want to bring up at this point that hasn't been discussed before?
No.
This is item number 6. There being nothing, staff report. Item number 7.
Staff update. Update. The development on 19 and 45 is going in really quick. They're getting ready to pull their permit to do the splash pad next to the common building. What do they call it? My mind is just gone. They've actually got renters in those first four buildings up front, 1900 already. So it's going along pretty well. Looks good.
Can I ask one question? I know I'm not supposed
12 to. Is the answer.
Do I remember right that they said that the middle, the splash pad, would be allowed for the public to use it as well?
They have a public park, which is kind of on the north side where that street kind of junks in. That's the part that's public. The splash pad is not.
Okay, I'm confused. What is a splash pad?
Just a concrete that lets water.
Like the gateway.
Yeah, for kids to run around playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No matter what your age.
Okay. Well, I don't
need to talk about it. I could ask them and see if it is. I just know when they were looking at doing bonus points and getting two extra units, one of the aspects was having a park that's open to public. So they allowed that one park to be open to everybody. Okay. Now, I don't know if the neighborhood knows that or if the neighborhood goes in. I don't know if there's a sign that says open to public, but.
Whatever happened to that proposal, what was it, last year sometime, where they were looking at what to do with the complex and they had those three proposals and they said, but we're going to put $25 million in Russell and develop this huge thing. Whatever
complex.
Happened to it?
Oh.
Remember? They said like they had two or three different phases, like we can take you to this parking spot, put a splash pad, we can expand here.
I don't.
This and that.
I don't. But I can surely look into it.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was just all proposals.
It's not the aquatic center, it was the what? Complex.
Yeah, it was the complex. So you guys remember that?
At Emma Russell?
Yeah. No, yeah, with Roy High? Is that the complex?
Well,
but
they were talking about like that lady came in and she gave the presentation, but with the like two or three different options, like this is $6 million, this is $9 million. Oh, and this is our
council meeting.
The proposal was $25 million. You know, at the end, it's like this is what we recommend.
I would not mention taking away parking spots at Roy High.
What's going on with that?
They're adding parking. Well, for the buses, isn't it the bus?
Yeah, they're right now. You go in. And it's like 10 stalls and the buses come out and there's a nice landscape strip. And then you got some more parking. They came in, they're going to get rid of that kind of the landscape in between, have the bus lane a lot longer, and then add, I think it was 10 more parking stalls.
That's good.
So.
And my last question, the old library, do you all know what's happening with it?
City owns it.
City, yeah.
Yeah.
The recreation department will move into there.
Like,
also they're going to be on.
They're not going to be down by Public Works. So
nice.
Right now they occupy that one building. They'll move into the library, old library. Public Works admin will move over into the.
They need more space at the rec.
Well, it's not just more space. It's just if you want to have a meeting, it's on the second floor, and there's no ADA. Anything to get somebody up if needs be. So that was kind of one of those concerns of just let the shops be shops and then have the admin somewhere else.
And you also mentioned, sorry, my mind is just running
no,
about the I'm trying to think of the word, but I'm thinking of graveyard. That's not sort of this
cemetery.
The cemetery. Because you said you were looking at a couple different areas, or maybe doing a public-private venture or something like that.
Yeah. I think the mayor is definitely looking. I know he approached the PRI, which is the LDS's church's development side, owns the property off of 6031 to get some property there. I don't know what happened with that. He's also looked at north of 4000 in between the rail trail and the railroad track itself. Roy already owns some of that. The difficulty again is
access,
development and stuff. He's even thought about in between south of 4000 in between the rail trail and stuff. But that one, again, is access issues.
Did they even consider double stacking? And the
No idea. I do about this much of cemetery. And that's when Tammy's gone.
Good point.
I can answer your question to how much it is to open the gravesite, and other than that,
next case.
Talk to Tammy.
Anything else, Steve?
Nothing I can think of. Obviously, the plat just got signed. They'll record for the development on Midland and 4000, the multifamily development there. We've got their plans just being reviewed. So hopefully we'll get construction going on that.
Okay.
And trying to think of other projects. The car wash there on 4300 West and 5500 South is dead. So
now we can say we have too many car washes.
Ed died because he'd lost his finances. So
yeah. Oh, okay.
And it's been longer than a year since he's gotten his approval.
So you'd have to come back.
I kind of just said, sorry, you lost your rights now, and oh, by the way, you can't do it. wanted to reapply, so.
Well, you could do it, but it has to be down there, doesn't it? Isn't that what we did?
It'd have to be the manufacturing zone.
Manufacturing zone.
Which has one vacant lot.
We're not prohibiting it.
No. You can buy another building, tear it down, Ollie.
As long as it's within the zone.
Yeah. Okay. So, any other projects or questions? What's your homework?
Take pictures.
While you're driving.
Commercial, residential.
I really
buffers.
Like UDCs.
Look up agendas.
Barriers. Down there in Draper, it's really nice.
UDC?
Department of Corrections? Yeah. Like
with
their barriers.
The
do you go to the prison office?
I just try and make...
You could have so many guard towers. Guard towers, I don't know.
See what they have for code.
A 16-foot fence with barbed wire on top, then 20-foot landscape strip and another fence.
Yeah, I think that looks great.
It might stop cars being stolen.
Yeah.
Does the HOA pay for the security guards?
Yeah. Please don't mention that. All right, then, if that be it, then I will accept a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn, if I may.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
Happy 24.
What if I say nay? Does it keep going?
You lose. You're outnumbered, dude.
I am looking for someone to say no.
Nay.
Oh, yeah, right.
Motion to adjourn. Seven no. Ayes and one no. I just want to hear it.
No.
No, I like being here.
That sounds like
a person.
Yeah. She's the one who's kept me informed.